بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، ما بعد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد، كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى محمد، كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. رب اشرح لي صدري، يسر لي أمري، واحلل عقدة من لساني قولي. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. My dear respected brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. What time is Maghrib today?
8:02.
Okay, so we'll see where we end up. May Allah Ta'ala grant everyone tawfiq and allow us all to be under the mercy of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala for sitting in the discussion of Rahmatul Alameen. Mercy to all of mankind, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Again, one of the most important intentions that we make while we're sitting here is that we want to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we all listen attentively and with our full mind and our full hearts behind this, because this is the Habib Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of the things that you hear about today, inshallah, is through the Battle of Uhud. Although everyone knows it's a very difficult day for the Muslims, but you'll hear other things that will inspire you and motivate you, inshallah, especially for myself, listening to these stories, those things which will push us to become better Muslims, inshallah ta'ala. And you'll see what it means to truly love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah grant us the understanding. So last time we spoke about, and if you remember, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the Battle of Badr, had to deal with a lot of difficult things. There were internal, external enemies. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with his genius intellect, and his, his tactful mind, mashallah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he's able to take care of the enemies on the outside as well as take care of the enemies on the inside. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, along with being a prophet, along with being a father, a husband, and many other things, alayhi salatu wasalam, he is also a governor, a leader, the one who's taking care of all of Medina, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So many responsibilities. And you saw last time how well the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam dealt with it, to the point that even if the fact is that he himself had time to get married in that year as well. And even his daughter, Fatima Razina, also gets married as well, mashallah. Okay. Right before the Battle of Uhud, it was right now in Shawwal, within Ramadan, that same year, the third year of Hijrah, Sayyidatuna Fatima Radiallahu gives birth to Hassan Radiallahu. So it's a very happy and joyous occasion. But as you and I know, as we spoke about last time, Abu Sufyan was having none of it from Makkah. He was already getting ready for preparing a huge battalion to go and fight the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Before in Badr, the difference between Badr and Uhud is this. Badr, the Abu Jahl was very furious about hearing about this caravan. So they quickly rounded up as many soldiers as they could. 1,000 soldiers they got together, and they all went up to Medina to try to fight them. For the Battle of Uhud though, the difference here is that for Uhud, they had time to prepare. And they had a lot more resources and a lot more wealth to expend. And so they spent it on many different things. They got together 3,000 soldiers, 700 of them fully armed. They had about 3,000 camels for everyone. And they also had about 200 horses, mashallah. And so with all of this that they had, they were all ready to go and fight the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They brought together some of the tribes. And so they're all ready to go out to fight the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I told you, in the meantime, Abbas radiallahu anhu is in Makkah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam leaves him there because to have someone on the inside to be able to convey messages between what's happening in Makkah to Medina. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam leaves him as if he's a spy for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abbas hears about this news that they're going out to battle. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what does he do? He finds the fastest messenger that he can find, and he says, "You need to get to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam within the time of 3 days. You have to get there within 3 days. You have to get this message out." And Abbas tells him the numbers. He said, "This is how big the army is, and this is what you're dealing with." So now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this messenger goes. It's about 500 kilometers between Makkah and Medina. 500 kilometers between Makkah and Medina. This man makes it within 3 days. It's extraordinary. Extraordinary. This man goes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and tells him, "O Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, I have a letter for you from Abbas radiallahu anhu." And so he reads the letter. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, he reads it, and it's a bit of a shock, because 3,000 soldiers are coming to destroy the entire city of Medina. It's not something light. It's not something easy at all. So what happens? The Prophet ﷺ says he sends out one of his own scouts to go and check out this army that's coming. And so the scout is going up there and he's checking. He comes back with the news and he says, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, I've seen the army." He says it's about 3,000, about 700 or so. This man has good numbers. He said about 700 or so are fully armed. They have about camels for everyone. And they have some women as well that they brought to help entice and to encourage them to keep fighting. And so what the women would do on the battlefield was they would first curse and they would create poetry against those people that are running away from the battlefield. At the same time, they would remind the people that, remember what you're here for. We lost many people in Badr. How dare you run away? How dare you flee? So these women are there for that reason. So the Prophet ﷺ, he gets all this news, all this information. It's right before Jumu'ah. It's the night before Jumu'ah. The Prophet ﷺ puts the city on high alert. He puts the city on high alert. It's red alert. So there's soldiers walking around, security here and there. Everyone is walking everywhere with their swords. The only time they lower down their swords is during Salah. That's the only time that they're putting it down because it's such a nerve-wracking situation. Right before Jumu'ah, the Prophet ﷺ brings together his group, his mashwara, his consultation. He brings the big leaders of the Muhajirin and Ansar. And we mentioned this last time. And so the Prophet ﷺ takes their opinion and he tells them a couple of dreams that he had. The Prophet ﷺ tells them a couple of dreams that he had. He saw two dreams, alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet saw in one of the dreams, he saw that there was a cow and it was being slaughtered. And the Prophet then saw a fortress. And so the Prophet interprets this and he says, that I see that many of my companions are the cow in the dream, meaning they will be slaughtered and massacred. Whereas the fortress is Medina. The Prophet, his dream is telling him to stay within Medina. Don't go out. Stay within Medina. This is one thing. Another dream the Prophet ﷺ saw was his sword. The sword the Prophet ﷺ saw, that he shook it a little bit and it broke. And then he shook it again and it became strong and firmer than it was before. So the Prophet ﷺ interpreted this and told his companions and said that the first time is that the dream is telling me that many of my companions will be killed. And the second time I shook it is that they'll be stronger than they were before. So the Prophet ﷺ is telling this to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Sahaba radiallahu anhum are giving him the mashwara. The senior Sahaba are saying, "O Messenger of Allah, Medina is a fortress. Let's not leave the city. Let's stay within the city. We're inside the boundaries of the city. We'll be able to fight them and tackle them and finish them. We know the city better than anyone else. We'll take them through the alleys. We'll finish them. We'll place our women on top of the roofs, and they will stone them from atop there. And the children can even help. There's going to be so much. There'll be a crazy battle within Medina." The Prophet ﷺ, this is what the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum are advising the Prophet ﷺ. There's also another guy within this meeting, and that's why I wanted to review it so that way we're all well aware of what's happening. Abdullah bin Ubay ibn Salul. You guys remember this guy? Not the nicest guy in the world, right? Abdullah bin Ubay is the leader of the munafiqeen, of the hypocrites. He's also partaking in this because he's a leader of the areas of Medina as well. So he comes in there and he's there too. And you obviously know what he's there for. You don't want to fight. He doesn't want to mess with anyone. And he doesn't even know if this is going to happen or not. But he's like, "I'm not putting my neck on the line for this man who took my job." You know, he wanted the governor position, right? He wanted to become the leader of Medina. And the Prophet basically stole it from him. So he goes and says, and he gives an advice, and he says that that past experience has told us that when we fought within the confines of Medina, within the city of Medina, we always won. Okay? And anytime we left the city of Medina, then we lost. It's obviously exactly what he wants to say. It's obviously exactly what he wants to say. So now the Prophet is feeling firm. He's telling himself that it's better not to go out and fight. Let's stay here. Let's stay within Medina. It's safer. It's sound. He doesn't want to lose companions. We're not about bloodshed. The Prophet ﷺ, and you have to remember this as Muslims, the Prophet ﷺ used to tell the Sahaba, don't ask. وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوا لِقَاءَ الْعَدُوُ. Don't desire to meet the enemy. Why would you even want to do it? Because on the battlefield, you lose a life. Someone's going to die. It's not good. It's not healthy. For da'wah, you lost a person. That person might go to Jahannam. And for the Muslim, we lost a Muslim who's alive. They might become a martyr, but they passed away, right? We want people who are alive. The Prophet is very worried about Sahaba. So he goes and says, I'd rather we stay in Medina and not go out and fight. Then what happens? These younger Sahaba, and not even just the younger Sahaba, Hamza radiallahu anhu, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you and I know him as the leader of the martyrs. Hamza radiallahu anhu, he says, "O Messenger of Allah, I'm not going to taste any food if we are fighting them within Medina." He says, "Wallahi, I'm not going to eat anything. If we're going to fight them in Medina, I'm not going to eat at all. We're going out there and fighting them." And then some of the other Sahaba said, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, when Badr came, we didn't even know. We thought it was just going to get a caravan. We missed the opportunity of fighting in Badr. Oh, Messenger of Allah, don't let us lose this opportunity. We made dua to Allah. We asked Allah, Allah, give us a chance to go and fight on the battlefield. And now you gave us a chance. Oh Allah, oh Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't take this away from us. So now the younger Sahaba are pushing for this idea of going out to fight. And this is why I want to remind everyone that the Prophet ﷺ loved the youth and loved their motivation. And he loved how they were so inspired to do great things for deen. And so when you hear your son want to do Hifz of the Quran or your daughter want to learn Islam, don't become the barrier between them and deen. Many times we do that. Many times we do that. Take a lesson from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rahmatan lil alameen, the model for all of us. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through his own example, is showing us, even though Uhud is such a risky business, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, just because of your enthusiasm, let's go out and fight. Let's go out and fight. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saw that inspiration, and because the younger Sahaba, then they were ready to go out and fight. So now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is getting ready. Jumu'ah comes up, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, gives his most motivational bayan of the time, and he tells everyone, get ready to go on war. We're going to go out to war. Let's everyone get ready to fight. Get your annual ammunitions, get your swords, get your shields, get your arrows, get your bows, get everything together. We're all heading out now. So the Prophet ﷺ is able to round up within a short amount of time 1,000 people ready to go and fight. 1,000 people ready to go and fight. 1,000 versus 3,000 is very good odds for Muslims. Very good odds for Muslims. They're not scared, they're not worried, they have full tawakkul in Allah. Allah that will take care of them on the battlefield. They're ready to go. They're ready to go. So now they're ready. The Prophet ﷺ, after Asr Salah, he goes inside his room. He goes with Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma. And they both are putting on the armors for the Prophet ﷺ. On this Mubarak battle, this blessed battle of Uhud, the Prophet ﷺ dons two sets of armor. Two sets of armor. Man, if you, I don't, you guys have never worn armor. I've never worn armor. But I can imagine, it's pretty heavy. It's pretty heavy. The Prophet ﷺ is donning two sets. You know he's ready to go into the thick of the battle and take whatever injuries and wounds and give it back to them double. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the man, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not a coward at all, alayhi wa sallam. What happens is the younger Sahaba are getting yelled at now by the elder Sahaba. What are you doing, man? Why did you say it? Why did you say it? Why did you push the Prophet ﷺ? Why he comes down on him? He doesn't need you for your mashwara. You know, the revelation comes down on the Prophet ﷺ. Who are you to say to disagree with the Prophet ﷺ? But note this and understand this. The Prophet ﷺ's gathering was like this. If you want to disagree, go ahead and disagree. Let's hear your opinion. If it's a good opinion, we can hear it. If it's not a good opinion, people are often very scared. Like, oh, I don't want to disagree with anyone. I just want to, if everyone's saying the same thing, yeah, let's just do the same thing. No, the gathering of the Prophet ﷺ was such a gathering, even younger Sahaba had a say. And even then, if they had a different opinion, they would say it. And so they said their opinion. And then they were criticized, though. These people started yelling at them and saying, go to the Prophet and apologize and tell them, O Messenger of Allah, wahi revelation comes down on you. Whatever you say goes. So then they go in, they're feeling miserable. I can imagine how you feel. It's like you go and tell your teacher, your ustad, your alim, your maulana, wasab, you know, I wanted this, and this. And after a while, you're like, oh man, that was a really bad idea. Why did I do it? They go into the room. Prophet has an armor on. And they go and say, O Messenger of Allah, please forgive us. Do whatever you say. Wahi comes on you, it doesn't come on us. Do whatever you want, O Messenger of Allah. The Prophet ﷺ said, it's not right for a Nabi that he put on his armor to take it off. We're going to war. We're going to fight. Let's get it down. And so the Prophet ﷺ inspires them. A leader is not someone who changes his opinion left and right. A leader is someone who, when he says something, it goes like that. And everyone should trust in the opinion of the leader. Because why? Because there's so much khayr and barakah in it. And you'll see it in the battle of Uhud. Now the Prophet ﷺ needs to get out as quick as he can. These people are coming. So the Prophet ﷺ waits till nighttime. So Quraysh are coming in. And so they're exhausted. Whereas this messenger came in within 3 days, mashallah. These Qurayshi guys are like enjoying, laughing it up and having a good time traveling from Makkah to Medina. And it's taking them a good amount of days, right? They finally get there. They're tired. Jada's falling asleep, snoring as loud as they can, drinking as much as they could, right? This is the battle for the mushrik. What can you do, right? So he's knocked out. They're all falling asleep. The Prophet ﷺ has one of the best ideas ever. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, when they all fall asleep, we're going to head out. Okay? Because they just got there. They don't have a chance to pick out. It's nighttime, right? Quraysh came in nighttime. You can't pick out the best spots on the battlefield. You don't even know what the spots are, right? They haven't been to, they're not like, you know, they're not people who reside in Medina. So when they get there, they just park themselves in a valley, put down the cars, they barked the camels and they put the barking there. Everyone just put down the camels. They all went to sleep. And the Prophet ﷺ with his 1,000 soldiers says, we're ready to go. And they said, the Prophet ﷺ asked the Sahaba, said, how do we get there without anyone noticing us there? We want to get there without anyone noticing. So one of the Sahaba said, O Messenger of Allah, we cut through the gardens on the right side of Medina. We can get there and we can get on top of Uhud. So the Quraysh on the left side, okay? They came around and on the left side, they're going to go in through the top of Medina, go down. And so they're on the left side of the top of Medina. The Prophet is told by the Sahaba to go around from the right side, go cut through the gardens and go up to the mountain of Uhud and get the best spot. The best spot is what? The high ground. If you can get the mountain, man, you got the battle. Forget about it. You'll be shooting down, right? You know, everyone Call of Duty guys, you're shooting from down. It's much easier than shooting up, right? You have to aim all the way up. It's kind of hard. So if you get the high ground, you're good to go. So now the Prophet, he hears this opinion. He's like, this is a great opinion. Let's all head out. As soon as Maghrib goes, Isha goes, they all start to embark. They go through one of the gardens. Now, mind you, the Prophet is the governor of Medina. Whatever he says, wherever he wants to go, he can walk wherever he wants. It's all his. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's the Medina to Nabi. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Although there is this guy who owns the garden. Who's this guy? Biggest dirtbag you can imagine. He's a munafiq, a hypocrite. And what does he do? He says he's blind too. So he goes and says, he hears something in the garden. So he grabs some dust and he grabs some rocks and he starts to throw it. And saying, if you're the messenger of Allah, you can't come in. Now, and he's throwing things. He's trying to hit them. He says, I don't care if you're the messenger of Allah. If you're coming in, so now you can imagine Umar radiallahu anhu is there, Hamza radiallahu anhu is there. What do you think is about to go down? The Prophet says, stop. Let him go. It's fine. Right? The Prophet said, A'mal basar, a'mal qalb. This man is blind in his eyes and blind in his heart. There's no good in this man. Don't worry about him. Just walk through it. Okay? Just walk through it. He's not going to stop you. Blind old man, what are you going to do? Right? The Prophet says, look, it's all Medina. It's his. He can walk wherever he wants. So they all head out. And so they're now going around. And so the Prophet reaches to Uhud. And he faces in such a... This is, again, the tactics, the military tactics of the Prophet is so ingenious. What does the Prophet do? So the mouth of Uhud is like this, right? On the top right side. And so the mount, that's where the Prophet puts his base camp for the Muslims. And so now the Muslims are facing this way, downwards towards Medina. And the Quraysh are facing this way, upwards towards Uhud. Now, if the Quraysh want to turn around and fight Medina, go straight down to Medina, who's going to be right behind them? The Muslims. So that if they want to turn around and attack the city now, they'll all be killed on the battlefield. The Prophet put himself in the most perfect position. And so when he did the alayhi salatu wasalam, he divided up the groups of the Muslims into three parts. He said, one group are the Muhajir, one group of the Muslims that came from Mecca, two groups from the people from Medina. There's the Aus and Khazraj tribes. There are two big tribes in Medina. Generally, mashallah, as per my experience, if you're a Bengali guy, you like to talk to Bengali people, right? If you people speak Urdu, everyone wants to speak Urdu with the people that you are. And you work well, you mesh well with the people that you're with, right? You talk Arabic, you want to speak with people who are from their same country, same area. And this helps you very much in the battlefield. You know, when you play basketball and you know it's your boys from Burlington, you're like, man, playing basketball is so much fun because mashallah, these are your guys. So the Prophet used to group people in battles with the people that they know. Because if you know these people, you fought with them before, it's easier for you to fight. So this is fine. People are like, oh, we're against culture and stuff. No, there's a certain limit, of course. But there are certain parts in culture, which is fine, especially this part. Mashallah, my food is not your food, right? My house is your house. You come over, inshallah, we'll treat you. But my food might not be your food. And so what happens is the Prophet, he organizes the battle. So he puts Muhajir, all the Sahaba and Makkah in one group, all the way on the top left. The middle group are one of the groups of Medina, and the third group is there. They all aim this way, right? And then the Prophet, he has another group, very important group, Abdullah bin Jubair, and a group of about 50 or so archers. And this is put onto the Mount Ainain. And you all, for those who have gone for Hajj or Umrah, you've probably seen Uhud. And they call this Jabal al-Rumat, right? The mountain of the archers. And so the archers were placed on the bottom right side. Okay, and they were put onto there because there was a passageway around. And if anyone came around and came down, they would swoop in and kill the Muslims. So the Prophet put 50 archers there. And he said, you all are supposed to stay here. Do not move at all. Don't move a single inch. Don't budge at all. Even if you see us win the battlefield, if you see us losing the battle, if you see us even being devoured by birds, the Prophet said, don't come down. No one's allowed to come down. Now this type of message is given to them. And then the Prophet, he scans the army. And subhanAllah, all this stuff is happening. A lot of tactics, mashallah. Then the Prophet is looking at his army. He's evaluating everyone's after Fajr Salah. And he's seeing, a bunch of guys there. And then he sees a lot of these short kids. Like 13, 14 years old, 12 years old, 11 years old. Like holding swords. And their little bows and arrows. And the Prophet looks at them and says, you guys have to go home. Who's there? Abdullah bin Umar, radiallahu anhu, the son of Umar radiallahu anhu, Abdullah is there. Who else is there? Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu is there. These big Sahaba, big names, mashallah. They were there and they were telling themselves they wanted to fight. They wanted to fight. These are Muslims that are so dedicated, had so much passion. They said, Ya Rasulullah, we're going to go out there. We're going to fight like everyone else. Let us go and fight, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They said it. But the Prophet said, look, you guys are too small. You have to go home. There was another kid though. The kid, he comes up and he goes, he is, his name is Rafi'a. Rafi'a radiallahu anhu. He is someone who, he is a very good archer. Okay. And so he says, the Prophet says, okay, because you're good at archery, you seem strong enough and you're 14. So, okay, you've basically hit the height. So you can be on the battlefield. Now there's this boy, his friend though. His name is Samura. Samura is not having it at all. He's like, how could you go out and not me? I wrestled you every single time. I defeated you every single time. How could it ever be? And so he starts to say, the Messenger of Allah, sorry, please, Ya Rasul, let me go. The Prophet said, I can't, you know. And then he goes and what does he do? He complains to his dad. This is what you do. It's a proper way. He goes and complains to his dad. It's his stepfather. And he goes and says, Father, I wanted to fight in the battle. They didn't let me fight. I'm a better wrestler than Rafi. If he can go because he's strong, I'm double his strength and everything. He starts to argue. And so his father goes to the Messenger of Allah and says, oh, Messenger of Allah, he says he's stronger than Rafi. But the Prophet says, all right, bring them both. This is the Prophet. Amazing, amazing. In this difficult time, the Prophet brings these two little boys and says, all right, wrestle it out right now. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. These young boys, and you can imagine who's there, Abu Bakr, Umar, smiling, watching them wrestle each other. And obviously, Samura knocks him down. And then the Prophet says, okay, both of you can fight. You guys can both go. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He never wanted to detract or deter the youth from going out to go to be part of deen. If they want to come for Fajr, let them come. Don't be the guy who says, oh, I can't wake up for Fajr and my kid can't come. If he wants to come, let him come. If he wants to come for Salah, bring them for Salah. Don't be the person who bars them from Islam. The Prophet was like that. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now, when Quraysh wake up, because they're not waking up for Fajr, right? When they wake up, what do you think they see? Huge army is there. What are you supposed to do now? Man, you know, they thought they were just going to go in and kill everybody. Now you see the entire army there. So now the Quraysh are quickly assembling the lines. Abu Sufyan is a great tactician. And so he assembles three groups as well. He creates one group, Abu Amir, another group in the middle, and this other group by Khalid ibn al-Walid. You probably know him as a different name, Saifullah, Sword of Allah. Right now he's not a Sahabi, he's not a companion. So but he was one of the Muslim, he was one of the people who the Prophet always had a difficult time fighting in battlefield. He was just a masterful tactician, amazing general, amazing person to go out, you know, in terms of fighting. So now they get these lines ready, and now everyone is ready to go, right? The Prophet is ready. And so he starts to incite and inspire the Sahaba. The Prophet takes out one of his swords. He takes out one of his swords. And the Prophet announces on the battlefield. And he says, "Man ya'khudhu hadha sayfa bihaqqihi." And so he says, who will take the sword? Who will take the sword? And so now some of the Sahaba, they all start raising their hands and saying, oh, Messenger of Allah, we'll take the sword. We'll take the sword. We'll take the sword. It's the Messenger of Allah's sword. Who wouldn't want it? If I told you the Prophet Miswak was here, you'd want it. The Prophet is saying, here's my sword. My God, everyone wants it. And now the Prophet said, but who will take the sword with its right? Who's going to take it with its due right to fulfill the haqq of the sword? To fulfill the honor of the sword, the respect of the sword. And then every hand went down. And as soon as you told me I have responsibility, I don't want to do it anymore. Marriage was fun when it was like, mashallah, just, you know, having the biryani and whatever nighttime stuff, mashallah. Now you're telling me I have to provide for her? Come on, man, that's a lot of stuff right there. No one wants responsibility. No one wants responsibility. So now this man named Abu Dujana radiallahu anhu, Abu Dujana radiallahu anhu says, I'll take care of it, Ya Rasulullah. I'll take care of it, Ya Rasulullah. Abu Dujana takes the sword and people are looking at him. And the Ansar, no, he's an Ansari. He's from Medina. He's not from Mecca. Abu Dujana's a Madani guy. And so everyone knows he takes out this red imama, this red turban, and ties it on. Okay? This is not something you bring for Jummah. Don't come in with red turbans the next Jummah. Please don't do that. You'll scare the heck out of me, out of everybody. Okay? This is the only time where this is okay. Okay? This is the only time where this is okay. Literally, it's like specifically for this type of situation. He puts on the imama, and like there's like these whispers going on. And again, the Sahaba of Makkah have no idea what's happening. So they go and say, oh, what is it? And then they start listening to whispers like imamatul maut, imamatul maut. This is the turban of death. This is the turban of death. And then they ask, like, what is it? Why do you say it about this type of turban? It says, whoever Abu Dujan is going to meet on the battlefield is going to die. Anyone who's going to meet on the battlefield is going to die. His man is going to finish everyone that he meets. Okay? So now he puts it on and he starts to strut. You know, he has like his little walk, you know, I know you don't know what I'm about. You know, he's walking over through the battlefield. It looks like the most arrogant guy you've ever met. And you're just, and it's enraging some of the Sahaba because they're not used to this. Very humble people, Sahaba radiallahu anhu, right? They see this guy like, you know, whatever. He's walking through everything. And then the Prophet says, leave him. Allah hates this type of walking, except in this moment. This is the time to show this type of walking. So now the Prophet, he tells everyone, he gets them ready. Oh, they got the sword out, everything is ready. Now Quraysh, last minute, all right, this man Abu Amir says, hey guys, everyone pause, hold on. Abu Amir is like saying, I can take care of this. We can reduce the army right now. Okay, the army has been reduced one time before. At this moment when they were leaving Medina, right? When they were leaving Medina, I told you 1,000, right? At this time when they were leaving and the Munafiqeen, Abdullah bin Ubay came out at the same time. Abdullah bin Ubay, he's about to, when they're about to leave outside of Medina, he takes 300 of his people. And at that moment, he says, we're not going to fight anymore. We're not going to fight anymore. There's not going to be a battle. This is a waste of time. He says, this prophet, he didn't listen to my opinion. He listened to someone else's opinion. He listened to these kids over me. Okay. And many times this happens to us too. We feel the same exact thing, that when someone else's opinion is accepted, we get really offended by it. Listen, if your opinion was not accepted, thank Allah Ta'ala. Because that means you were responsible because you gave the opinion. If your opinion was not accepted, alhamdulillah, qiyamah, you have nothing to worry about. But Abdullah bin Ubay, he goes and says, my opinion wasn't accepted. I'm not going out to fight. So now him and 300 people, they go back. And now 700 of them are there. Now some of the Sahaba, Banu Salima and Banu Haritha, two big tribes of Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, at that moment, are thinking, oh man, we had 1,000, now we have 700. At that moment, they also thought, let's also go back home. This is kind of dangerous. And so when they are about to leave, Allah Ta'ala put tawfiq in their hearts to stay on the battlefield. And this ayah is recorded in the Quran. Is hammat ta'ifatani minkum am tafshara wallahu waliyuhuma. That two of your groups were about to flee, about to run away, but Allah was their wali. Allah took care of them. So they stayed on. So now 700 are fighting against 3,000. Abu Amir, this guy's coming, he used to live in Medina. And he was a monk. He was someone who was engaged in worship. Before the Prophet ﷺ said, you know, you got like those guru guys, you know, these kind of guys, you know, they just like wear like this type of clothing and like they kind of smelly and dirty type people, you know, this type of guys, you know, like you're like, man, what is this guy? So, you know, the weird peers, you know, not the good peers, the weird type. So he's there and he says, these are my people. You know, Aus and Khazraj are my people. Aus is my people. I'll talk to them. I'll convince them. Don't worry, no battle is going to happen. I'm going to convince them they're all going to run away and you can just kill the Prophet, you know, because he doesn't like the Prophet, because the Prophet took his position. Everyone's position is lost. So Abu Amir, he was known as Rahib, right? He was known as the monk. He called him Fasiq. The Prophet called him, he's the biggest sinner, you know? And so he comes on the battlefield and he goes and says, Ya Ma'ashar al-Aus, I'm Abu Amir. He says, oh, I'm Aus, I'm Abu Amir, your leader, your beloved. I came back to you. I'm telling you all, just go home, okay? Just go home. You don't have to fight this battle. And so then he goes and says, you know, La an'am Allah, the Aus tribe, they respond to him and say, La an'am Allah bika aynan ya fasiq. They said, may Allah never give you any cool eyes, O fasiq, O sinner. So Abu Amir, he goes there and he tries to convince them to not fight. And then he actually has to go back to the Quraysh and say, well, I tried. My people, unfortunately, they've been misguided. What can we do? What can we do? And so now he goes up and tries. This is the first type of battle to go up. Then the second guy comes, his name is Talha, Ibn Abi Talha. He comes up. So before the battle, if you remember in Badr, there are three people that fought against three people. In this battle of Uhud, there's going to be a lot of battles one after the other. Small little battles they have just to see who's strong and who's weak. So Talha, Ibn Abi Talha, he comes and he goes and says, oh, companions Muhammad, you believe that Allah, he goes and says to them, he says, you believe that Allah has, that if we die, we're going to go to Jahannam. And if you all die, you're going to go to Jannah. He said, is there anyone there to send me to Jahannam? And anyone here that if I kill them, they'll go to Jannah? Now, if you go and tell a Muslim, like, imagine you were told this. Someone said that, go ahead and try to put me in Jahannam. What are you going to try to do? I'm going to finish this boy. Ali radiallahu anhu comes out. He's like, yeah, I'm ready. If you want to go to Jahannam, let's go and do this. So he goes out in the battlefield. He swipes the leg of Talha ibn Abi Talha. The leg comes clean off. And now Talha is like on the floor, his blood is gushing out from his leg, and he's just like, and his lungi kind of comes up. Like the lower loincloth that he has, the thing that's covering his legs is coming up, right? And so you can imagine what kind of scene this is right now. So he goes, oh, Ali, please, we have like family, we have relations, please don't kill me. And Ali is looking at the situation, Bichara's leg is cut off, everything's exposed, right? His other stuff is showing, everything is happening, and he's just like, And then he just walks up. Ali radiallahu anhu walks off the battlefield. He doesn't go. The Prophet says, the Sahaba asked and say, "Oh, Ali, what happened?" Oh, Messenger of Allah, sorry, I wanted to finish him, but I just felt too embarrassed. This is a really shy thing that happened right now. So this happens, the first one. So the first one is Abu Amir. Second one is Talha. The third one comes in. And then a fourth one comes in. And then a fifth one comes in. And then a sixth one comes in. Seventh, eighth, ninth, 20. 22 battles happen. 22 battles happen in the beginning of the battle. Because every single one of them, Quraysh kept losing. They wanted to win one. And then finally, the armies start to come together. Finally, the armies start to come together. And at that moment, when the armies start to fight, you see Abu Dujana. He's ripping through the entire battlefield. He took the sword of the Prophet ﷺ, and he's finishing everyone in his way, decimating through everyone. That's one guy going down. He finishes as many as he could. He reaches a woman. So what does that mean? He went from one side of the army all the way to the other side. Because the women are not going to be on the battlefield. The women are going to be in the back of the battlefield. So then he went through one side to the other, and he sees a woman there, and he's about to attack her. And he hears a scream, and then he stops the sword. And this woman was Hind. This woman was Hind. She is the wife of Abu Sufyan. At this moment, Abu Dujana, he pauses his sword and puts it away, and he goes back into the battlefield. And then they asked him later on, he said, "Oh, Abu Dujana, why didn't you just finish her?" He said, "I didn't want the sword of the Prophet to be stained by the blood of a woman. It's not right." At that moment, that power he had, that control he had, you know, forget about strength. Strength is everyone thinks you can lift like 500, 600, whatever amount of pounds, whatever. And this time on the battlefield, and so much heat and anger, at this moment to say, no, the blood should not, it should not be that the Prophet ﷺ, we kill a woman through a sword like this. So, you know, subhanAllah. Abu Dujana goes, another man is Hamza. Hamza's ripping through the battlefield too. Hamza's fighting and no one can stop him. They're ramming through everything. Everyone's going. The Prophet ﷺ sees this man named Ubay ibn Khalaf. Ubay ibn Khalaf is there. And he's strutting and he's bragging and he's boasting about how he bought an animal. And he's riding the animal. He's like, he fed it for so many days. He's like, I bought this animal just to kill the Prophet Muhammad. I'm ready to kill the Prophet Muhammad. And so then he's bragging as much as he could. The Prophet says, give me a spear. Give me a spear. So then the Prophet takes the spear and he just launches it. And he launches it and it goes and slices it like chips. Or like it just leaves a little scratch on Ubay ibn Khalaf. Just a little scratch. And then Abu Ubay ibn Khalaf starts screaming, saying, Muhammad has killed me, Muhammad has killed me, Muhammad has killed me. And he runs off the battlefield and everyone's like, yo, you just got a little boo-boo. Like it's a little thing that your mommy can kiss it and it'll be better. Like, what are you so scared about? And he's so terrified. And then he says, no, you don't know. This Muhammad said that he will kill me on the battle. He will kill me on the battlefield. You don't know what this is right now. He's either feeling some crazy level of spiritual pain you're not seeing, or this man has gone insane. And so at this moment, he goes off the battlefield. It's subhanAllah, the wound gets infected and the man dies. So they're finishing and they're demolishing. Hamza radiallahu anhu is ramming through everyone. Abu Dujana is ramming through everyone. And the armies are going through and everything's going well. And the archers are shooting and everything's happening. And finally, what you see, Quraysh is running away. Well, 3,000 versus 700. You in your mind thought that how could the 700 win? But they have the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At this moment, what happens? The Quraysh are running away. And the Muslims are excited because why? Because they dropped their swords, they dropped their armor, they dropped everything behind. And now the war spoils are there. And so now some of the Sahaba start to collect these war spoils. Now these archers that were put in the best position, they noticed that the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, were collecting the war spoils. And they're left on the mountain not taking anything. And so now it came in some of their hearts. They said that how could they collect everything and we get nothing? And at this moment, the fear of losing dunya, the fear of losing wealth, of losing worldly things, came into their hearts. And so a group of them, Abdullah bin Jubayr was the leader, again, of the group, the battalion. And he tried his utmost best. Wallahi, he did. He said, please don't go. The Prophet ﷺ told us. They said, no. Look, the battle's already over. The Prophet ﷺ said, you know, when the battle is still going, obviously it's finished right now. Let's just go. So now 40 of them go down and then they leave their position. Now, I've spoken to you about a bunch of stuff right now. I told you about the Quraysh's army, Abu Amir. But there was another big name there who also had a group in the Quraysh's army. Khalid bin Walid, the entire battle is going on. I told you, 22 people are fighting. This entire stuff is happening. Abu Dujana is killing everybody. Hamza is wrecking whatever he can. And Khalid hasn't moved. His whole group is just waiting. Nothing has happened. He's just waiting there. And at that moment, he goes and says, he looks around and he sees the archers going down. He says, that's the chance. And at that moment, what does Khalid do? He takes the way around. He's on the right side. He's in the perfect position, as if he knew that this is a possibility. So he goes around and he goes behind the Mount of Ainain, and he swoops down, they storm down with his entire battalion. And so they kill everyone. Everyone is decimated. Those 50 archers there, all of them are finished. And they're coming down. And now what's happening to the Muslims? They have an army this way coming up from the top. And they have an army coming this way, going down to the bottom. There's two armies fighting now from both sides. And at this moment, you could imagine that what could be possibly worse than this? Iblis shows up on the battlefield. And Iblis goes and says, he says to the Muslims, oh Muslims, look around you. Be careful who's left and right of you. Listen, you were fighting next to Muslims the entire time. There's only Muslims around you. But and the chaos of the battle, what's going to happen? You don't know who you're going to hit. You don't know who you're going to kill. You don't know who you're going to stab. So Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, he is there and he sees his father Yaman. Yaman is there. Yaman is just standing there, and the Muslims are so erratic and scared. They don't know what to do. They're swinging their swords, and they see Yaman and they just go after him and they charge after him. And Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu screaming out, says, Abi, my father. Muslims stop. But they don't stop. And they go through and they kill Yaman. They kill the father of Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu. And you can imagine that pain you feel. You called out, you screamed out, you tried your best to save your father, and no one listened to you. You have full right to just be as angry as you can, never talk to anyone anymore. So they said, oh Hudhayfa, what do you say about those Muslims that killed your father? He says, Yaghfirullah lana wa lakum. Allah forgive them, forgive us. Subhanallah. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, from that day, they said because of the forgiveness that he gave on that day, he had an extraordinary life. From that day, he had such a great sight in the eyes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was such a respected person, and after that, Allah just continued to give him khayr. So when we are looking for people to forgive, remember this: the story of Hudhayfa. If you cannot forgive, he surely should not have forgiven, but he forgave, and just forgive because Allah will give you good life. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, he sees this, and this torment is happening, and this chaos is happening, and now they don't know what to do. The Muslims are getting attacked from this and attacked like this. They're all being charged together, and now in this chaos and this difficulty, where is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam seeing this battle happening and the Muslims are being killed, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's all the way on the top. He's watching the battle from the back because he's the leader and he's watching everything from the back, and he sees everything that's happening. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam can just run back to go to back to the Muslim camp. He can hide back in Uhud and he can wait it out till the battle is over. Or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has a second option. He has the option of going into the battle, trying his best to save as many companions as he could, and helping out the Muslims as he could. What do you think the Prophet ﷺ chose? He screams out. The Prophet ﷺ screams out and says, Ya Quraysh, halumma ilayya, come to me. Ana Rasulullah. I am the messenger of Allah. On this battle, you want to save your general. You want to save the leader. Yet the Prophet ﷺ is offering his own life to make sure the Sahaba are safe. What do you think is going to happen to the Quraysh when they hear about this? They all start to turn and say, the messenger is here. So they all start to turn towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now Abu Bakr is somewhere, Umar is somewhere, Ali is somewhere. Everyone's all over the battlefield. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has a small group of Ansar with him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees that if Khalid came through this way, I have to go in through the middle. I have to make a way through and push all the Muslims to go back to the camp in the Tab of Uhud. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so brave sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so amazing sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He goes in and he tries his best to go and fight to Quraysh and get through to try to save the Muslims that are being slaughtered there. Because he called them out, they all start to head towards him. You can imagine how many mushrikeen are coming. Not tens, not twenties, hundreds of people are coming to attack the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He has a group of seven Ansar with him, seven of the companions with him, and another two of the Makkins. Okay, Sa'ad ibn Waqas and another man named Talha. These seven, they're coming, and there's this huge group of mushrikeen that come up, these polytheists that come up, these disbelievers that come up, and they start to attack the Prophet ﷺ in one group, okay? And when they're attacking, the Prophet ﷺ, he's trying his best to maneuver, get to the Muslims, create a way, create a route. We gotta escape, we gotta get out of here. And so while he's doing that, the Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he tells the companions, he says, who's willing to go and fight them and he'll become my companion in Jannah? We have to create a way. Who's willing to fight them? Become my Sahabi, my companion in Jannah. And so now you would expect the Makki Sahaba to go up and say, Ya Rasulullah, we're ready to go. Ansar goes up and he goes and fights and he becomes a martyr. Another one comes up and says that he goes and fights, he becomes a martyr. Another one goes and says, and he fights and he becomes a martyr. Another one says, I will, and I will, and I will. All seven of them become martyrs. The Prophet looks at the two from Mecca. He says, we did not do good with our brothers. What are you guys doing here? You know, they all fought and they all became martyrs for the sake of what? Becoming a companion of the Prophet in Jannah. They said, this is worth it. If we're going to die here, we're going to die here. Let's finish it and give our life to become a sahabi of the Prophet in Jannah, mashallah. So this happens. And now the group of mushrikeen come in closer. And as fast as they can, they storm in and they attack the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They attack the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You have so many people. Utbah ibn Abi Waqqas. This is the brother of Sa'd ibn Waqqas. He's there on the battlefield. Sa'd radiallahu anhu wants to kill his brother right now. Because what does he do? He takes a rock and he throws it at the Mubarak face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he damages the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's Mubarak face. He breaks a tooth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's lip starts to tear open and some blood starts to gush forth. Another person comes in and they attack the Prophet ﷺ with arrows. And then so the Prophet ﷺ is injured through that. Another person, he comes in, his name is Ibn Qamiya. This is the worst guy. Ibn Qamiya, he comes and he's huge. He's massive. If the Prophet ﷺ came in with two armors, Ibn Qamiya came in with two armors. He comes onto the battlefield as well. And he looks at the Prophet and he goes and says, I'm going to vanquish him. I want to finish him. So he takes he has a huge sword and he slams it down on the Mubarak, the blessed shoulder of the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ felt this injury for a month. For a month, he felt this injury. But he could not pierce the two armors of the Prophet. And he tries to swing again and attack the Mubarak face of the Prophet. He tries to attack him again. So the Prophet's face is now gushing forth with blood. The Prophet's forehead is also torn open. And this is all happening. And you can imagine the anger and frustration that a person would feel for the Nabi. Yet the Prophet, you look at him. And you look what he says. He goes and says, how could it be that these people will ever be successful? He's worried about their success. That they bloodied the Prophet. They injured his face. How could it be? He wants success for them. He says, well, how could they ever be successful now? They injured my face. You think Allah is going to take that without anything? You know, why are you doing this? Then an ayah comes down and the Quran is angry. Allah is angry. There's anger in it. لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْنِ شَيْءٍ. Oh, Prophet, you have nothing to say here. Forgive them, don't forgive them. They're all oppressors. They're all wrongdoers. They're all going to be killed. Ibn Qamiya, when he injures the Prophet ﷺ, he says, خُذْهَا وَنَا ibn Qamiya. He says, take this. And I'm the son of Qamiya. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, أَقْمَاكَ اللَّهُ. He says, so Ibn Qamiya, Qamiya, it means the person who was disfigured and ugly. I don't know why a person would name their kid that. Don't mind that. But the Arabic is hilarious because Aqma means may Allah make you ugly and disfigured. So the Prophet ﷺ in this moment has such control, he even sends back a baddua against this man. Don't worry, he dies a bad death anyways. But he, Ibn Qamiya, attacks the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ he's at this moment, he says, how could a people be successful? This ayah comes down and then the Prophet ﷺ says, they bloodied the face of a Nabi. The punishment of Allah will come down. The Prophet is saying this, the punishment of Allah will come down because they bloody the face of the Nabi. Then the Prophet, he pauses for a moment. And then he goes and says, Allah maghfir li qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. Allah forgive my people because they don't know. If they only knew that if they harmed their Nabi, this is going to happen to them. You think they will do it? They will not do it. The Prophet at this moment is rahmatan lil alameen. He's still thinking about them. He doesn't want them to die. He doesn't want them to perish. He wants them to accept Islam. But this is not the way, it's not happening right now. And at this moment in panic, the Prophet only has two guys left, Sa'ad and this man named Talha, radiallahu anhu. And at this moment, you don't have, as the Prophet is in this injured state, nothing much you can do. This Sa'ad radiallahu anhu, he's so angry right now, he's furious. So he starts to take arrow after arrow, firing after firing, launching after launching. Jabir radiallahu anhu narrates the hadith, he says, when all the Ansar were finished, Talha kept trying. Talha kept trying to say, I want to go and become a companion of the Prophet ﷺ in Jannah. But each Ansari kept rushing. Talha was there and Talha was saying, I want to be a companion. But each one went. And then finally, when all of them were, they all became martyrs. They all became shuhada. Talha says, it's my turn now. He goes and there's 11 mushrikeen. By himself, he kills everybody. By himself, he finishes everybody. Talha is not having it. Talha is not having it. He rips everyone apart. He finishes everyone in front of him. He decimates anything in front of him. Sa'ad is in the back shooting arrows. Talha is in the sword in front of the sword, swiping left and right, finishing everything in front of him. And this is happening. And then the Prophet is being shot with arrows. There's so much happening on the battlefield. Talha comes back and he starts to block with his hand the arrows that are going after the Prophet. to the point that the hand of Talha radiallahu anhu, because of how much damage it received, it becomes paralyzed. But he doesn't stop. He keeps fighting and fighting and fighting. Finally, this one sister comes. They're also Muslima sisters, but they were in the tents. They were waiting in the back. They were there just again for the inspiration to go back to the Muslim sisters. One sister comes out. Her name is Ummu Umara. Ummu Umara comes, and her name is also Nusayba. She comes out, and mind you, as Muslims, and we have to understand this. Even now, the draft is a male draft. They only recruit people into selective service. They are only for men. Similarly, for Muslims, we understand that the future of our generation, the future of our society, is through our sisters. Our sisters need to stay alive. That's why our lives are disposable. You do the work, you struggle, you strive, you hold the entire family up as a father. You do what you need to do. So that way the mother will make sure to raise the children properly. And that's what we understand, because taking care of the living is better than taking care of the dead. The sisters take care of the living, but at certain times push comes to shove. And this is one of those moments where no one can just sit there and do nothing. So Ummu Umara comes out. She takes out a sword. She's ready. She blocks Ibn Qamiya, this man who was attacking the Prophet ﷺ. She blocks Ibn Qamiya. Ibn Qamiya, he slams onto her shoulder and he cuts deep into her. She has a huge gash on her shoulder, but that doesn't stop her. She keeps attacking him and attacking him and hitting him and hitting him. And Ibn Qamiya, he starts to become so flustered and angry, he just runs away from fighting with the sister. Allahu Akbar. And he goes back and he has a certain message. We'll get there in a second. When he goes back, and then the Prophet ﷺ, it was Ummu Umara, and then Aisha radiallahu anha also comes onto the battlefield. She's healing, she's tending to the wounds. She's taking water. She's filling up the water jugs, helping those who are wounded. And even Ummu Ayman, the woman who used to take care of the Prophet ﷺ, she used to see, because what's happening now in the battlefield is Muslims are running away. Some of them are running to Uhud. Some of them are running to Medina. Some are running wherever they can because they're so scared and terrified. Ummu Ayman started to tell them, saying, "Where are you going? Hold your sword. Take your sword. Take it back." And she starts to help them as much as she can. And she starts to throw dust at them, saying, "Get back on the battlefield, get back on the battlefield." She's an old lady right now. So she goes on the battlefield. She starts to tend to some of the wounds and help them. And so on the battlefield, this one is that, you know, Pagal type guy, terrible monster person. He comes and he looks at her and he tries to attack her. An old lady. He tries to attack her. Who attacks women on the battlefield like this? Only an animal would. And an old woman to bat too as well. So now she's knocked down and some of her clothing is torn. And so he starts laughing as hard as he can. Prophet is watching all this. Ummu Ayman is so close to the Prophet. It's like family to him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, "Sa'd, take aim." Right? So then Sa'd takes aim and he pulls back as hard as he can, because he understands the Prophet is angry. And if he's angry, everyone's angry. So he pulls back as hard as he can. He launches the arrow, hits him so hard, the guy falls back like this. His lungi flops open, and everyone's cracking up on the battlefield. Okay? Like, it's like, oh my God, same thing happened earlier. Same thing happens. The Prophet is laughing now. Say, "If you're going to do this to one of our women, don't think we're going to be nice to you. Don't think we're going to be nice to you." So this is all happening. Ummu Umara came, Talha is coming, devouring, finishing everything. The Prophet used to tell everyone, "Awjaba Talha, awjaba Talha, awjaba Talha." For Talha, Jannah is wajib. For Talha, Jannah is wajib. The Prophet used to say to everyone, "If you want to see a martyr who's walking, who hasn't died yet, look at Talha. He's that type of guy who defend the Prophet through everything, radiallahu anhu. So strong, so powerful. He's doing this, and finally, the sounds are going that the Prophet is there. And who do you know shows up? Abu Bakr shows up. Umar shows up. Ali shows up, radiallahu anhum, and all these sahabas are showing up to defend the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At this time, everyone is around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, creating a barrier and a shield now. Now finally, alhamdulillah, the Prophet has some defense, and he's wounded and he's bleeding, and all this stuff is happening to the Mubarak Nabi, alayhi salatu wasalam. And all these sahaba are so worried about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah, Abu Ubaidah comes, and he looks at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he sees the blood, and he sees that someone struck him so hard on the helmet that the Prophet ﷺ, some of the chain links came into the Mubarak cheek of the Prophet ﷺ. And so it's stuck in there. You know, like imagine having metal stuck in your cheek. That's what's happening. And so one of these Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they go, his name is Malik ibn Sinan. Malik radiallahu anhu comes to the Prophet ﷺ and he places his mouth onto the Prophet ﷺ's cheeks and he starts to clean off the blood, radiallahu anhu. And the Prophet ﷺ says, "For this person, Jahannam will never touch him. Jahannam will never touch this man." And then Abu Ubaidah, the Prophet says, he's trying to tend to the wounds. The Prophet says, "Forget about me. Dunakum akhaka." He says, "Forget about me. Look at your brother Talha. This man is about to die. He's had 35, 39 wounds. He's injured to the max. He's hurt so much. But they said, oh, Messenger of Allah, Talha doesn't want any help. He's just fighting and fighting. He's killing as much as he can. The Prophet ﷺ is injured. And so Abu Ubaidah, Abu Bakr then comes and they're all crying because they're seeing the sad state of the Prophet ﷺ. So Abu Bakr tries his best to take out the chain links because they're stuck in. It burns. And so he can't. So Abu Ubaidah says, move, I'll do it. So he goes in there and he puts his mouth on it and he himself pulls it out from the cheek of the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ is still gashing, he's still bleeding. But now they finally have some control here. In this side, this is happening to the Prophet ﷺ. What's happening on the other side? What's happening on the other side? The Prophet is trying his best to get into the Muslims. What's happening to the Muslims? On the other side, you have two groups of Muslims. One group of Muslims, I told you, was just running away. People were fleeing. People were going here and there, left and right, whatever. They all lost motivation. Ibn Qamiyah comes back and says, I killed the Messenger of Allah. Ibn Qamiyah comes back and he says, I killed the Messenger of Allah. He ran away and he's coming back bragging about the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is dead. Okay, there's this one boy there. Young boy, Mus'ab, radiallahu anhu, holding the flag. And Muslims at that moment, their power became as if they were completely drained. Completely drained. They start to drop their swords, start to drop their weapons. They don't want to fight anymore. All that stuff is going. Because now the Prophet of Allah is dead. Why would you want to continue? You feel like there's no more point anymore. He's the Messenger of Allah. How could he die? This entire stuff is happening. All these feelings are coming up. Right? Mus'ab radiallahu anhu, such a man. You know, do you remember who Mus'ab was? Do you remember who Mus'ab was? Mus'ab was the boy who the Prophet ﷺ at a young age, remember, he accepted Islam. He was one of the most luxurious kids. He lived in such a lap of luxury. His clothing, everything for himself was tailored. His jubbah was tailored. His clothing was tailored. Even they said his sandals were tailored, mashallah. He had such a perfume. You could smell the fragrance from wherever he walked. You know, Mus'ab walked there. This man accepts Islam. His mother abandons him. He loses everything. He lives in tatters and rags. But he becomes such a great sahabi, such a learned sahabi. He can teach Quran, he can teach hadith, he can teach deen. The Prophet ﷺ chooses one man to send to Medina. He sends Mus'ab radiallahu anhu to Medina. Medina is all from the hands of Mus'ab. All the da'wah, all the Muslims that come out of Medina because of Mus'ab radiallahu anhu. He's the one holding the flag on the day of Uhud. And he's looking at everyone running away. And he goes and says to everyone, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُولٌ أَفَإِمْ مَاتَ. Right? He goes and says, Muhammad is nothing but a messenger. Muhammad is nothing but a messenger. Many messengers like him have come. And he goes and says, if Muhammad has died, he doesn't die. And so he moves forward and he keeps saying, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ. And he's trying to encourage all the Muslims. So then his arm gets chopped off because the flag is in that hand. And he holds it with his left hand, Mus'ab radiallahu anhu. And then the other man comes and he's saying, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ. Left hand is cut off. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ. He holds it with the stubs of his hands. He holds it next to his chest. He says, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ. Muhammad is nothing but a messenger. We're living for Allah. We live for no one else. Mus'ab is like this. And then they finally pierce his body. And he falls down on the ground and he passes away. Ali radiallahu anhu sees this. He grabs the flag and he says, don't worry, Mus'ab. We'll take your message forward to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are other sahaba on that battlefield. Anas radiallahu anhu, he goes and says, he sees all the sahaba running away. He says, where are you going? Where are you going? What are you doing? Don't you smell the fragrance of Jannah coming from Uhud? Where are you going right now? He goes and says, where are you fleeing to? And he tells, there was a backdrop to this. Anas, he missed Badr. And he said, I made dua, Allah, let me come onto Uhud. I'm ready to go. And he says, where are you going? Fragrance of Jannah is coming. Let's all go. He takes out his sword. He goes out and fights. And he fights and fights and fights as much as he can. And then what happens is finally he drops. He finishes. No one after the battlefield can recognize him. He has so many wounds and injuries, 80 wounds. The only way they could recognize him was through his fingertips. And the only one who could recognize him was his sister. This is how difficult he went through. But he said, I could smell the fragrance of Jannah coming from Uhud. So why are you giving up right now? Zayd ibn Dahdah radiallahu anhu says, if Muhammad is pain. In كان محمد قد مات فإن الله حي لا يموت. If Muhammad passed away, Muhammad is if he died, Allah is living, he never dies. Let's go and try to fight Khalid ibn Walid. Zayd ibn Dahdah, he goes and takes a bunch of group of Sahaba, tries to fight, they all become martyrs, they all become finished. They all fight and fight and fight. Usayrim is another man. He just accepted Islam like 5 minutes ago. And he goes and says, you know, I can finish these dates in my hand. I can go to Uhud and become a martyr. He drops the dates, he goes out and fights. Abu Huraira used to tell people, if you want to see a man who entered into Jannah without a single prayer performed, look at Usayrim, radiallahu anhu. This is the valor. This is the courage. This is the sacrifice. This is one man named Hanzala. Hanzala says, I'm not going out without a fight. Wasilul Malaika. He is the one, he goes out and he looks for Abu Sufyan. He says, if I want to take out a target, I'm going to finish Abu Sufyan. This mother, whatever, he did too much on the battlefield today. He goes out there and he looks around and he sees a guy on a horse. He says, all right, we're going for this. And he launches and he hits the leg of the horse with the sword so hard. He drops Abu Sufyan. He says, this is my chance. I'm going to finish this guy right now. Hanzala comes up. This man named Shaddad and this group of people come. These bodyguards of Abu Sufyan, they come and they attack Hanzala radiallahu anhu. They see on the battlefield when Hanzala radiallahu anhu, he lies down on the ground. They see water coming from his body. They see he's as if he took a shower, as if he took a ghusl. And Hanzala just got married the night before. He got married the night before. The announcement came to go out for Uhud. And he told his wife, I'm going out to battle. I'm ready to become a martyr. And his wife had a dream too. She just imagine this. You just got married. You have a whole life in front of you. This is an optional draft. Not everyone had to go. But Hanzala said, no, I'm going to go. And so he was in the, you know, he just got married. Bichara, you know, Junub guy, Janabat guy. He's like, the battle came out and he's like, I have to get going. He goes out in that state. He's not clean. He has to take a ghusl. He has to take a shower. So when he dies, what happens is when they find his body, they find that it's already drenched, like as if he took a shower. The angels bathed him. The angels gave him a shower. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. And when they found the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some of the Sahaba said, we saw two people with the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, both of them dressed in white. And they said that this was Jibreel and Mikael, alayhi wa sallam, protecting the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I mention these things, and I mention these stories, is because you have to understand that Uhud was a difficult day. It was 100% a difficult day. But it was a day when people could show how much they loved the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And that's what you and I as Muslims need to remember. That we're living this kalima, la ilaha illallah. What is this kalima, la ilaha illallah? It's only on our tongues. When is it going to enter our hearts? That we don't sacrifice sunnah. We don't sacrifice deen. We don't sacrifice kalima. We don't sacrifice nothing of Islam. As if when we came to this country, this athar of whatever is here has affected us so badly, now we don't remember anything about deen. We have to remember that this is what it meant to be a Muslim. This is half the battle. And so inshallah ta'ala, because we have just 2 minutes left, may Allah grant us tawfiq and understanding. May Allah ta'ala allow us to live lives like these Sahaba radiallahu anhu, these companions that lived Islam to the fullest. They're willing to give their lives for deen. May Allah ta'ala give us that tawfiq and understanding that we can truly love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah grant the best for these Sahaba. They left behind such honor, such izzah. They're called shaheed. Do you know why it's called shaheed? It's shaheed is from shahada, right? It's a witness, right? It's a testimony. On the day of judgment, and you and I, from hearing the story 1400 years later, you 100% can say on the day of judgment, these were true Muslims. You can bear witness for them. That's what it means to be a shaheed. Is that everyone, when they hear about these stories, they say, these are true Muslims. May Allah grant us tawfiq and understanding. Allow us to love the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, love the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and continue to practice the deen until the day we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad, and his sahaba, jazakallahu khairan. If you all need to make wudu, you can do so, inshallah ta'ala.